You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. It's 8 o'clock. It is the fourth Saturday of the month, so that means we're joined by Farmer Greg in the Outdoor Living Hour here at 8 o'clock. And this is actually a little bit of a preview to what's coming up in September. So fast forward 2 hours in our 10 o'clock hour where we spend the entire hour on one specific housing topic. In September, it's focused on landscape for the obvious reasons. The summer triple-digit heat's coming to an end. It's perfect planting season.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect growing season. It's perfect landscape season. And it still might be toes in the swimming pool water. You may not be swimming, but it's still enjoying time outside. So it's we'll be covering different topics of landscaping.
You know what you should do?
Into September.
You should have me on the show talking about that.
Well, did you see the email?
I did.
Was that Thursday about the first topic?
Yeah.
So this is kind of a preview because we're going to be talking about designing your edible landscape.
Nice.
This hour with Farmer Greg. And edible for who? For you or for the animals?
Well, yes. Yes.
For everything.
For everything, absolutely. You know, one of the features in my backyard of my edible landscape is my chickens. So some of the stuff that I grow in the backyard at the urban farm is for the chickens. And, you know,
and they make the eggs that you have for breakfast.
There you go. And they make the eggs that I have for breakfast. Plus, they're great workers. I'm a big proponent of having chickens in your backyard. If you have a backyard, you should have two or three hens because they're out there working for you. They're eating bugs. They're eating weeds. They're pooping. So they're making fertilizer for us, which is, you know, high in nutrients. And they're giving us some eggs. So...
And extremely entertaining.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. They're so funny. Keeps Heidi, my sweetheart, you know, entertained for hours every week.
We will put them, so when the layers are done, because they'll only produce good for a couple of years.
Four years, maybe five.
But they'll live 15 years.
Yeah, not so much in this heat, but they will. I have had one that lived 9 years.
9 years?
Yeah, and I've been raising hens at the urban farm, this will be 18 years now.
We'll take a chain link panels and we'll put them around our trees in the orchard where we have weeds growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll just wipe them out. They've got shade from the tree.
Yep.
The irrigation comes on. They have water.
Yep.
They're my weeders underneath those areas. Because we don't trim up our orchard. We let all of the citrus grow like shrubs.
Nice.
Protect themselves, hang low to the ground.
You've taken some of my classes, then.
I listen. Very good.
Oh, there you go.
Because most of your classes, I'm always in here on Saturday morning. So, like, your Great American Seed Up coming up, we'll be it live for that hour. But then back here, the other couple hours of the broadcast.
But you could come to the Friday night version of the Great American Seed Up.
Oh, there's a Friday night version.
Yeah, Friday night we show a movie and people can scoop seeds. So, real quickly, greatamericanseedup.org. We, once a year, we buy 80 different varieties of open pollinated seeds that grow well here in the desert, and people can come and scoop them up really inexpensively. It's a bulk buy, basically, a seed bazaar. So check that out, and we'll be talking there next month.
And we'll be looking forward to getting our seeds for our fall garden and our edible landscape. So let's talk about edible landscape. It's the concept of if you're going to grow it, why not have a function of eating it.
Eating it. Or, you know, it needs to contribute something to your yard. Absolutely. And, you know, I've been here for 51 years now. This is my 51st summer here in Arizona. And interestingly enough, we're at 16th Street in Northern. I've lived within 5 miles of right here that whole time. And I've gardened and, you know, I've spent a lot of time paying attention to what's going on in my space and what's going on here. You know, this whole notion of edible landscaping, when I see people growing things that just take money, energy, time to maintain, it kind of drives me a little crazy because for so many things, we can put something in, even desert edibles, that will provide you shade. I'm really right behind you, out the window, that's a Palo Verde. Palo Verdes are edible. You know, they put out a really nice bean that's like edamame. Plus, the other thing that they do, they give us a filtered shade. So if you plant Palo Verdes and mesquites and ironwoods in your yard and let them grow up and big like mushrooms and prune them single trunks, they're going to shade your space. And one of the things that I've been playing with this month at the Urban Farm is I bought one of those, you know, those little guns that you shoot. You
pull little heat gun?
The heat guns, right. You pull the trigger and it tells you how hot it is. I've been measuring the soil temperature at noon at the Urban Farm, underneath shade and not underneath shade. So right out in the middle of the yard, the dirt, 140 degrees. And I went down. I know, you should see Romy's face.
My exactly. Kids walk barefoot on that. They're tougher than I am. I don't know how they do it.
I know. I don't know that I could. So 140 degrees. I actually went down 6 inches, and it was 120 degrees 6 inches down.
Wow.
Okay. Now, 10 feet over in the shade, underneath the tree, was like 92 degrees underneath the sweet potatoes. I like to plant sweet potatoes in my space. They're nice ground covers. They provide shade for the soil, 89 degrees underneath the shade of the sweet potatoes. So one of the big factors here in edible landscaping, especially in the desert, is putting in something to shade your space. We've got to do that. Otherwise, we just cook our stuff.
That's a good way to put it. You just cook.
You just cook it. Exactly. So, you know, paying attention to your space is really important. In fact, often I will tell people to spend a year observing their space before they make any major changes. Because if you go through four seasons in your space, you're going to see the different amounts of rain you get, the different amounts of sun, where the shadows are at. Because, you know, the sun moves in the sky, right? Careful. I've caught you on this one before. Actually, the earth moves, but it looks like the sun moves in the sky, right? And in the winter, the sun's really low in the sky, so the shadows in our yards are very long. In the summer, the shadows are much shorter. So knowing those kinds of things about your space is really important. So observation starts in your space in creating your edible landscape. And then the other thing about observation that I always encourage people to do is walk your neighborhood. See what other people are doing. See what nature's doing in your neighborhood that's working. You know, if you live out in the desert area out by Piestua Peak and you go walking in the desert, what you're going to see most likely is some big shade trees and not a lot of stuff growing away from the big shade trees, but the big shade trees are nurse plants for growing underneath it. And the cool thing about a lot of the desert edibles that I mentioned, Palo Verde, mesquite, and ironwood, is they're nitrogen fixers. So those leaves, when they drop, they're pulling nitrogen out of the air and out of the soil and making them available for the plants.
And when you're talking about walking your neighborhood, seeing what's work, or maybe what to plant as an alternate. Because if you've got a neighbor that's got a well-producing lemon tree, you know as well as anyone, no two families, three or four or five families could live off of that lemon tree.
Exactly.
So don't plant another lemon tree. Do a lime, do a grapefruit, do an orange, do, you know, something else.
Right, that and trade with them.
And trade. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So walk the neighborhood. Great. Yep. Great point. Observe for a year. See how the shadows happen, where the sun lines up. And if you're in a town or city area, obviously, as that moves, if there's other buildings, the time that it gets dark, if you're up against a mountain, you know, the time of day.
Yeah.
I've got an uncle that lives on, the east side of one of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
3 o'clock in the wintertime, the sun's gone.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. It feels much later than it is. Well, the sun's been gone that long because of the mountain.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, observe throughout the year. One of the main things, and we've already talked about the heat, is the solar aspect. And when I say solar aspect, I mean, where does the sun hit us at a particular time of day? So a northern solar exposure is on the north side of a structure. And a north side of a structure is not going to get a lot of sun. A western exposure gets sun from noon until sundown. Those are the areas that you want to start growing and building your shade in, because that's the harshest area. I have a western-facing wall at the Urban Farm, and I took that same heat gun out the other day, and it was 160 degrees on that block wall. So that's a heat sink in your yard. So if you have one of those that's attached to your house, that's radiating into your house on the west side, planting shade on the west side of your house to shade that wall is going to save you significantly on your electric bill. See how I'm threading in edible landscape with all kinds of other things?
And then if it's a west side or south side, if you picked a vine that was deciduous, the leaves are gone, and in the summertime, that direct or the wintertime, that direct sun hits the wall
and heats your house. Exactly. You've been listening. Thank you very much.
I know it doesn't always seem like it, but I am.
Yeah. And then an eastern exposure. So a southern exposure gets sun all day. An eastern exposure is on the east side of a structure, east side of a wall, east side of a building, east side of a tree, and it gets sun from sun up until noon. And quite honestly, it's one of the best places to grow your garden. So in garden placement, if you're looking around your garden, your space, if you have an eastern exposure, that's going to be the easiest place to grow.
And we'll cover more on that here at Rosie on the House. If you'd like to join the conversation, I have a question for Farmer Greg. It's 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE for you. The text is 411-923 or email at info@rosieonthehouse.com.